grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading for this morning describes John the Baptist as Kerith stone, that is, as Christian, as heretic. It was customary in Greco-Roman culture for Herod to announce the arrival of royalty with magnanimous outward display. John the Baptist, however, we find, concentrated on internal preparation. We might characterize John as a bold herald to individuals, considering the message, the result, and the assessment. John's message was daring and bold. To the people at large, he spoke briefly and bluntly. According to verse 2, he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." This brief statement contains both law and gospel. Repent implies God a change of mind or a change of heart. Probably John recalls, at least to himself, Ecclesiastes 7:20. "There is not a just man on earth that doeth good and sinneth not." Also, he probably thought of Isaiah 6:46. "All our righteousness is as filthy rags." Here was law, briefly and bluntly. Yet at the same time, John held out the hope of the gospel. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. John was so bold as to demand baptism, a rite which had been required only of Gentiles who wished to become baptized or Catholic. That is, John was treating the Jews as if they were pagans. He insisted that they not depend on their national heritage. Salvation was to be between each individual and God, a matter of the heart, not of the nation. Not a group relationship to God, but a personal relationship. The key to this relationship, of course, was the Messiah, whose arrival John was heralding. To the leaders among the Jews, John's message was even bolder. In verse 7, he called them a generation of vipers, that is, you snakes, my God. He found them to show fruit of true repentance, to prove that they genuinely had a change of heart. "Don't depend on your heritage," John was warning, for in verse 9, he reveals God could raise up from stone other children of Abraham. Now, what was the result of John's bold heralding to individuals? Among the masses, John's heralding had success. We read in verses 5 and 6 that people from Jerusalem and all Judea confessed their sins and submitted to baptism. By submitting to baptism, they showed that they were admitting their personal unworthiness and sinfulness and were placing their hope not on an outward connection with the Jewish race, but on an internal change of heart. They were looking to the kingdom of heaven and to the messianic promise of the Old Testament for their individual spiritual healing. But among the leaders of Judaism, John's heralding apparently had little success. For soon, John was imprisoned and beheaded. No doubt he had been too critical of the leaders, and too outspoken against them. The assessment of John's heralding also had varying evaluations. By human standards, John's ministry may not be rated too high. Such a sharp career, such a violent death, his cousin soon overshadowed him. John himself doubted his success while in prison. As today, what congregation would issue a call to John the Baptist? His peculiar dress, his odd eating habits, his strong language, all this might make him socially unacceptable. But Christ himself, however, gave John an extremely high evaluation. Jesus said in Matthew 11:11, among them born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. Jesus was evaluating John on the basis of his message and his bold paradigm of this message to individuals, not on John's lack of social amenities. Yet Jesus also added, the least person in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Yes, we are in a peculiar position. We have the added witness of historical fact on Christ's suffering, death, and atonement. We know that Christ has redeemed us from our sins and granted us freedom from the power of sin, death, and damnation. With our additional witness of the New Testament, God expects from us bold paradigm of the gospel in word and deed. Deed and word cannot be separated. Matthew emphasizes the first connection between actions and speech in the life of Christians by arranging his gospel symmetrically in five parts, each of which has a discourse of Jesus following a preceding related activity. Luke also, in the first verse of Acts, recalls that his previous volume, the Gospel, contains what Jesus began to do and teach. Proclaiming the Gospel and service in the kingdom go hand in hand. But this service also would illustrate the importance of service to our Savior as one form of witnessing to the sincerity of our oral confession of faith. As we recognize some anniversaries of our college who have reached pivotal points of chronology in their career of service and confession in God's kingdom, and as one more college is inducted into service on our campus. May the example of these colleagues continue to be an encouragement to the rest of us, as we all thank and praise our Lord for his guidance and assistance to his Holy Spirit in our service to his kingdom and in our heralding of his message of good news to sinful humanity in need of constant repentance and assurance of atonement to Christ our Savior. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.